Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Another wonderful day of God's grace, peace, and mercy. So we'll have a word of prayer and then we'll get into it. Heavenly Father, we thank you just for another day of your wonderful grace. We pray for not just our country, Lord, but the world and all of its leaders, all those in authority, that they would really heed the word of God, the commands that are in there, the warnings that are in there, and the understanding of what portion of it's written to each one of them. We pray for this service. We're thankful that we have a assembly that supports the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. I thank you for each one here. Just hide me behind the cross. Let the Holy Spirit be the real teacher, and let this be done for the edification of your body and for the glorification of your Son and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, as a recap, last week, for those of you that weren't here, we were looking at continuing 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and last week we went through verses 36 through 38 about, "Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened except it die. And that which thou sowest not that body that shall be, but bare grain. And it may chance of wheat or some other grain, but God giveth it a body as it has pleased him, and to every seed his own body." Now we looked at not only the ramifications of the future resurrection, but we also looked at the practical aspect of this, the dispensational aspect of this, and we looked at the sower. That was the parable that we went to. So we use this to compare not only the future, but to also here and now of what I see from here on out. And we compared those two bags of seed, the bag of seed that was given to the nation of Israel, and that was that bag of seed, which is Jesus Christ according to the prophetic program. And we compared it to that body, that bag of seed that God gave to the Apostle Paul. Two bodies, you know, two plans, two purposes. So as we continue, we're going to hit verse 39. So that way, those of you that weren't here last week, you kind of understand where I'm going with this. I believe there's a practical, there's not only a future vision in store in these verses, but there also is I see a dispensational and a here and now aspect to these verses, and that's what we're going to do. And the title is, "One of These Things Is Not Like the Other." The old Sesame Street, right? So 1 Corinthians 15:39. "Now all flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another of fishes, and another of birds." Now there's a few things where we can stop and we can point out here, right? Maybe some things that are obvious, maybe some things that aren't so obvious. Number one, evolution is a lie. Okay? While it is true that God gives life to beasts, fish, and birds, only men and women got their life and likeness directly from the true and living God. Okay? Now, when the Holy Spirit says all flesh is not the same flesh, I believe the key to this is that word "same," okay? The definition of that word "same," and I believe that it has to do with Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7. Does somebody want to go to Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7 and read that, please? Because I believe this word "same" here, this is what it's referring to.
"And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul."
So it's that, I believe the word "same" here is talking about that idea that God breathed into the face, the nostrils of man, the breath of life. Now, to further bear out what I'm thinking here, let's go to Genesis chapter 7. Okay? And that's just going to further bear out why I see that word "same," as that's the key in that verse, the difference between all those other things that have been given life and men. Genesis chapter 7, we're going to be looking at verses 14 through 23. Oh, I'm in Exodus here. Wrong one. Genesis chapter 7, verses 14 through 23. "They and every beast after his kind, and all the cattle after their kind, and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth after his kind, and every fowl after his kind, every bird of every sort. And they went in unto Noah into the ark, two of all of flesh, wherein is the breath of life. Right. So everything, fish, beasts, men, they do have the breath of life. And they went in, male and female, of all flesh. Birds, beasts, okay? As God commanded him. And the Lord shut him in. And the flood was 40 days upon the earth, and the waters increased and bare up the ark, and it was lift up above the earth. And the waters prevailed, and were greatly increased upon the earth. And the ark went upon the face of the waters. And the waters prevailed exceedingly upon the earth, and the high hills that were under the whole heaven were covered. That's a global flood right there, folks. 15 cubits upward did the waters prevail, and the mountains were covered. That's a global flood. And all flesh died that moved upon the earth, both fowl, cattle, beast, and of every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, and every man, all in whose nostrils was the breath of life, of all that was in the dry land died. So that's everything has the breath of life, but it says man, all man in whose nostrils was the breath of life. Okay? So that's why I use those two verses, and I think that word same there, that's the thing that differentiates those things that are created, that we're talking about, fish, men, beasts, okay? Does that make sense? Okay. Now, just like every seed, right, produces a body that pleases Christ, men and women produce only men and women, okay? Beasts produce beasts, fish produce fish, and birds produce birds. These are important things, right? Especially nowadays. These are some important things that will help us help other people. Now, there is also no fossil record, okay, of any half beast and half man. That is a lie. There is none, okay? It is a scientific impossibility, okay, for an ape to produce a man. It is an impossibility, okay? These are simple things, right? But the world finds these things are profound to them, right? But this is a simple thing we can draw from these verses as we're going through. We can stop and say, hey, you know what? This is relevant not only for the future resurrection, but there's a relevance here for here and now to help people, right? To help them see. And anyone who is making that kind of claim about evolution, Darwinism, that's why it's called a theory, right, is a liar, period. Okay? Now, I think Romans chapter 1, let's go there. I think that also makes this kind of clear. These are verses that we all know, right? Romans chapter 1, verses 21 through 25. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like unto corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own heart, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creation, the creator or the creation, more than the creator who is blessed forever. Amen. So, sometimes we can use verses in the context of where we're at to take them somewhere else and show them that this is relevant for this also, right? Not just in the context of a future resurrection. There's a here and now aspect to almost all of the scriptural verses, and probably all of them. So that's just a small point that we can make. Now, point number two I see is also there is no scriptural record, I can't find, of a resurrection of any creature or created being other than men and women. And if anyone knows one, I'd be interested in seeing. Right? Chapter 15 is about the resurrection. So these things are brought up, but there is no resurrection of all these other things that were created except for man and woman. Okay? And that's it. Now, when we're looking at the future resurrection, if you're born a man or a woman, you're going to be raised with the body that God knit you while you were in your mother's womb. That's the body you're going to be raised with. We're not going to come back as an angel, okay, or some other created being, right, or with a body that pleases you. Okay, you're going to be raised with that same body that God knit you in while you were in your mother's womb, either male or female. Not the one that pleases you, but the one that pleases Him. Okay. When we think about the other twisting of the Word of God, people think they're coming back as what? Reincarnation, right? I'm going to come back as a bird. I'm going to come back as a lion. I'm going to come back as this. That's all lies. That's all lies to keep people from the reality of a future judgment and a future resurrection. Those are all lies. Now, when we consider the future resurrection, plural, or resurrections, and we have already looked at them earlier in this chapter, okay? We know that each group or body that is produced from the seed, that was last week, right? Each bag of seed is meant to produce a body that pleases Christ, whether it's the nation of Israel or the body of Christ. We know that each of those groups is going to have bodies fit for the purpose that they were grown and harvested for. Okay? The body of Christ are going to receive bodies that are fit for the heavenly realm or the celestial portion of God's kingdom. Okay, the overall kingdom is what we're talking about, right? God is the owner of everything that created, but there are two realms, right? That's in Genesis. He created two realms, the celestial and the terrestrial. Okay, so the body of Christ is going to receive bodies that are fit for that heavenly realm, that celestial kingdom of God. Israel, and we looked at that last week, that mustard seed, right, that he compares them to, well, they're going to receive bodies that are fit for the earthly realm or that terrestrial kingdom. Okay? And the unbelievers, those that are still in Adam throughout all of history, right, we know that they're going to receive bodies fit for the lake of fire where there is no glory. There is only shame and torment and utter darkness and despair. That's why we share these things, because these things are real. Right? This is not a joke. Right. This is not a fable or a fairy tale or a myth. This is reality. Okay? Now, that's going to bring us to our next verses. 1 Corinthians 15, 40 through 42. So I gave you the backup run-up so you understand what I'm trying to tell you here, what I'm comparing these things to. 1 Corinthians 15, 40 through 42. There are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial, but the glory of the terrestrial, or the glory of the celestial is one and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, and another of the glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars. For one star differs from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. Okay. There are, verse 40, celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial. But the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. Remember, I see that there is a future in view here, but there also is a dispensational and a here and now aspect to these verses. That's what I see in here. So the definition of the word another, I think that's the important definition here. The definition of the word another or other, see, the other or another can be as to the comparing of number, the number of something, okay? And we're going to look at this. Or it can be referring to the quality of the things being compared. Not the quantity or the number, but the quality. Okay? That's what I see in this definition. Now, I believe the definition of the word another in here is referring to the quality of something, meaning not one of the same nature, form, class, or kind. Okay, it's different. There's something different about it. It's not the number of bodies and glories being described. It's not according to the number. I believe it's according to the quality of it. Okay? So the other or another, like I said, can be compared to the number. The number of something could be the word, is what this word is used. And to see this, to flush this out, let's go to Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8 and verse 21. Someone want to read that? Matthew chapter 8 and verse 21. So this is where we're going to be looking at the word other or another as to the number is the thing that's being compared. Okay? Matthew 8, 21. Anybody?
And another of his disciples said unto him, Lord, suffer me first to be in the burial of my father.
So another of his disciples said unto him, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. I'll just hit the next verse as a little tidbit for you to go home and study. Because he said unto them, follow me and let the dead bury their dead. That's a little tidbit for you guys to dig into. That's a good verse right there. But the another here, the disciples, right? Is it the quality that's being compared here? Or is it the number? Right? And another of his disciples. It just means it's not the same disciple. There are more than one disciples. It's a number, right, of people that's being compared here. Not the quality. We're not talking about the quality of this disciple and the quality of that disciple. The another here is just the two different disciples. How about Luke chapter 5?
And they beckoned unto their...
Wait. Luke chapter 5, verse 7. Quick on the draw. Luke chapter 5. Oh, you're already there? How'd you know that? Oh, it's already up there. That's why. Forgot about that. Luke chapter 5, verse 7. Very good.
Ready?
Go ahead.
Ready?
Yes.
Okay. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come help them. And they came and filled both ships so that they began to sink.
So there we're talking about the same thing, right? We're not discussing the quality of the ships. We're just talking about another ship. We're comparing that word there is comparing the number, not the quality. Okay? It's just the number. It's the other ship. Right? So in both those cases, the word another and other are talking about the number of something being compared, okay? Not the quality. Does that make sense? Now let's go to Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. And I'll read verses 7 through 12. Acts chapter 4, verses 7 through 12. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what authority... What name? That's what name means, authority. By what authority have you done this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, you rulers of the people and elders of Israel. Who are the authorities? He's talking to the authorities there, right? If we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by which means he is made whole, be it known unto you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the authority of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him, right, by his authority and by his power, does this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. And neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other authority under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now, it's not the number of authorities here, right? Because we have according to a number, we have the authorities of the nation of Israel, right? And then we have Christ's authority. But what's being compared here is not the authorities itself, but the quality of the authority, okay? Because, yeah, we're comparing some earthly authority to the Lord Jesus Christ's authority. And obviously the thing that's different is that earthly authorities, they have no authority. The Lord Jesus Christ has all the power and all the authority. So I don't think here the comparison is not between you rulers in Israel. It's not the number of the two authorities. It's the quality of the authorities. That's what I see here, okay, when I see that word. Well, how about Galatians chapter 1? Galatians chapter 1 and verse 6. I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Right? We're not comparing all the gospels that are out there, because there's a lot of gospels out there, right? But we're comparing the quality, right? When we think of the word, when we think of the word another gospel here, all those other gospels are lacking what? They're lacking the authority, they're lacking the quality, the power to save people's souls, right? That's it. Even when we think about the two bags of seed, right? Today, we have no authority to preach the kingdom gospel. We have not been given that authority because there is no quality in that gospel for the body of Christ today. That's not going to give you any life, right? The difference is the quality. So we're not talking just about all the gospels that are out there. We're talking about those two main gospels, right? Because that's who followed Paul wherever he went. It was those people that tried to bring people back in under that other kingdom seed program. There's no authority there today. None. Okay? The quality of that is not the same quality as the authority for today in this body of truth, in that grace seed. How about 2 Corinthians? 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 3 and 4. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or you receive another spirit, which you have not received, or another gospel, which you have not accepted, you might well bear with him. So it's not the number of things here, it's the quality of things, right? The quality of... We don't preach Jesus Christ according to the flesh during his earthly ministry, right? Because he's not on earth here anymore. He's risen and glorified, right? So we're talking about the quality of the Jesus being preached, right? You can preach Jesus according to his earthly ministry or his heavenly ministry, right? According to those two different bags of seed, those two different bodies that Christ is trying to produce. That same thing with another spirit. What's lacking? What's the quality that's lacking in that word right there? I'd say the easy answer is the capital S for the Spirit. That's not the Holy Spirit, right? So the quality of that word right there is lacking. The quality of that Spirit that people are receiving is lacking something. And that's because it's not the true Spirit of God, that third person of the Trinity, God's Holy Spirit. Or that other gospel, we've already talked about that, okay? So in those verses, the words other and another are talking about the quality, meaning not of the same nature, form, class, or kind. So the difference is not in the quantity of it, but the quality of it. That's what I see in that word. Now, 1 Corinthians 15:40. So there are celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial, right? We're thinking future, but then we're also thinking here and now in the aspect of these two bodies, Israel and the body of Christ. But the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. So there's our word, okay? the glory is another. Now, I believe that what is being compared here, see, is not the number of bodies or glories, right? But the quality of these bodies and glories, okay? That's what I see in this verse. It's the quality. And it's in relation to the dispensational truth about God's earthly kingdom and God's heavenly kingdom. Not only future, but here and now. Because the next verse that we're going to look at is going to talk about only one of those bodies and glories, okay? And that's the celestial or the heavenly. He doesn't go into talking about anything other than the celestial in the next verse, right? There is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars, for one star differs from another star in glory. Now, when we think about the sun, the moon, the stars, I believe we're talking about an external visible difference in appearance, majesty, and honor. Because I think that's what the word glory means, right? It could be talking about a visible, when we're thinking about the stars, there is a visible difference, right? A visible appearance. There is a visible majesty and a visible honor in those things. I'm seeing the same things dispensationally, right? There's a majesty, a glory, and an honor for both those bodies, both those realms, both those kingdoms. Because they are what? That these celestial bodies, they're in a different realm. They're in a different portion of God's kingdom, okay? So also is the resurrection of the dead. Now we're looking at future resurrection, future bodies, but we're also looking at a here and now aspect of these things, right? So I see a bigger picture here than just a future resurrection. Just like those two bags of seed, those two bodies that Christ is pleased to produce. One is not better than the other, okay? But one is very different from the other, right? The body of Christ is not better than the nation of Israel, right? They both have their plan, they both have their purpose, they both have their glory, majesty, and honor. Not only here and now, but the future, as the future resurrections that this whole chapter is talking about, but there's a here and now for the body of Christ, right, today. So when it comes to an external visible glory or brightness or majesty and honor, I believe we have a portion of Scripture to look at that's going to help us here with this verse and the aspect of these verses, okay? For those to say that the terrestrial things have never had a glow or a visible majesty about them, besides the Lord Jesus Christ, when we think about his Shekinah glory, that was a brightness that Paul says was above the noonday sun, the glory of the sun, right? But to look at these in just the context of glory can't mean luminescence, and I think it does mean, there's a portion of it that means luminescence. I think that this verse is going to help us see what I'm trying to convey here about the resurrection, about our future resurrection, and the here and now, okay? So can anyone think about where we would go to see a visible glory, a brightness, a majesty and honor in relation to what I'm talking about here, the two programs of God, the two different bags of seed, and the two realms and the body that each of these things is meant to produce? Can anyone think of a picture where we have the kingdom seed, the kingdom bag of seed, the body of Christ bag of seed, and there is a glory, a glow, a majesty that defines what happened to the one and the other? Something that wraps kind of all this into one thing. Anybody get a shot? No, but
Christ in you, your hope of glory.
Well, that, we see, we could tie that all into our the here and now portion of our resurrection, is that we have a resurrection life. Right? But no, there's another one.
2 Corinthians 4.
How about 2 Corinthians chapter 3? Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 3.
Right book.
Wrong pew. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, and I'm going to read 2 through 18, okay? Now you, this is from the risen and glorified Lord Jesus Christ to our Apostle Paul, to us, okay? For you are our epistle written in our hearts, known and read of all men. For as much as you are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, of the epistle of Christ ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart. And such trust we have through Christ to Godward, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God, who also has made us able ministers of the New Testament, or this new grace message. Not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. But if the ministration of death, that previous bag of seed, that law of Moses, right, written and engraven in stones, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away. How shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? Right? We're looking at two bodies and two glories, two plans, two purposes. For if the ministration of condemnation be glory, much more doth the ministration of righteousness exceed in glory. For even that which was made glorious had no glory in this respect, by reason of the glory that excelleth. For if that which is done away was glorious, much more that which remains is glorious. Now, seeing that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech, and not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished. Why do you think, why was the veil over Moses' face? First of all, do you agree that Moses' face was literally shining?
Yes.
And glowing, and had a glow about him? So why did Moses put the, why was there a veil over Moses' face? Let's continue here. So that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished. But their minds were blinded, for until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. But we all, with an open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as the Spirit of the Lord. So why do you think the reason Moses had the veil over his face? I don't think it was because they were afraid to look at him because his face was glowing, but because the glory faded. Okay? The glory faded, so he put the veil over his face so they couldn't see the end of that program. Okay, because that glory faded. Okay? That glory has faded. Now that same veil is over the heart of not only we're talking not only about Israel, but we're talking about believers who are trying to go back under that old bag of seed, go back under that law, right? That veil, if they would peek underneath what they're trying to do, they'd see that there's no glory in there. That was done away in Christ, right? By what? By the glory, or the majesty and the honor of the glory that exceeds, which is the grace messages, this dispensation of grace in which we live. So there's those two programs. There was a physical glow about Moses. There was a majesty, a glory, and an honor in that program, right? Because that program was meant to produce that wonderful nation of Israel, that mustard seed, right? But because of God's bigger plan that he didn't let anybody know about, right? That veils, there's no glory in that today. There's none. There's no glory in that message today. Nothing. It's empty. It's impotent. It cannot save anybody. By what? By that glorious message that exceeds, that excelleth, that's higher, right? This is from Christ in glory, our message, our body. This majesty of this message is not the same. Different bodies, different glories, different plans, different purposes, different realms, celestial, terrestrial. So the glory of the celestial is one. There was glory in that message during that time period, right? And those believers that believed in it, they were glorying in that message. They were given some power, right, by the Holy Spirit for a plan and a purpose. But that got put on hold. See, glory of the celestial. But you get the point, right? There's glory in both. But in one today is not another. There is another of the, they're different. The quality is different. It's not the number, it's the quality that's different. So concerning the plan and purpose of Christ for the terrestrial, right, the earthly, and the glory of that body, Israel, because today the glory is all in the grace message. The glory is all in the body of Christ. The future glory is all going to be in the body of for the body of Christ, in the realm that the body of Christ was fit to inhabit, right? Now, what about that old plan? What about that old purpose? What about that body, that other body that Christ was trying to produce? That terrestrial body. Let's look at them. Let's go to Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11, verses 11 through 15. So I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid, but rather through their fall is come unto the Gentiles. Through their fall, salvation has come unto the Gentiles, right? To provoke them to jealousy. And Pastor Ricky's hit that hard and wonderfully. To emulate, come and emulate this wonderful new message, right? Now, if the fall of them be the riches of the world, and the diminishing of them, right, that fading glory, just like Moses, the fading face of Moses, how much more their fullness is going to be. For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify my office, my bag of seed, the body that God's trying to produce today, I magnify that office. If by any means I may provoke to emulation them or of my flesh and might save some of them. That some of them, they might get saved, right? There's another opportunity for those guys that rejected their Messiah. For if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what's it going to be like after the rapture when God redeals with them? Oh, he says it's going to be, the receiving of them is going to be like life from the dead. It's going to be glorious, right? God has not forsaken Israel. He just has a different program today. He has a different glory, a different honor, a different future. But when he goes back and picks back up with that faded glory, he says it's going to be like life from the dead, right? How about Matthew chapter 13? Like resurrection, life from the dead, right? Isn't that the context of 1 Corinthians 15? It's all about resurrection. Matthew 13, 43. Right? When they come back to life, what does it say they're going to be like? Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father, and he who has ears, let him hear. They are going to shine as the sun itself in that terrestrial, earthly kingdom that God promised them. It's going to be like life from the dead for them. That glory is going to be glorious on earth, just like we have a glory in heaven. Okay? So now, I pray that wasn't too confusing. I pray you can see that there's not just a future resurrection in here, but there's also a here and now. It's not just something to look forward to, right? We have much to look forward to. Our destination signed, sealed, and delivered. But there's a here and now aspect to these things that we can apply to our lives. There's a reality to the glory of the body of Christ today, right now, right? And we can apply it to our walk so that we can shine. We can be different, right? We can look different than the world. They're in darkness. We're supposed to be the light, right? So we members of the body of Christ, we both have a here and now glory. A here and now. And a future celestial glory. And we can praise God for both, right? Because He's the one that orchestrates all of it. In us, to us, through us. He gets all the glory and honor, right? Not that we're sufficient of ourselves, we just read. It's all what He's doing. We're glad that we can be a part of what He's doing today. We don't have to wait for a future. We have a here and now. Now, in Israel, they have a glorious terrestrial future. As far as their here and now goes, it's not so much, right? There's no glory and there's no honor in that old message, because that old message, that old bag of seed was put to the side and put on hold. And today there is no glory in that message. They're in sad shape today, the nation of Israel, if they want to look at themselves as a nation at all. So they have a bright future, though, a wonderful future in store for them. But their here and now is not good. It's no good, right? Right now, it's the ones that can enjoy the here and now are the members of the body of Christ, right? We've been given that resurrection life. We've been told to walk in it, glory in it, shine forth, shine it forth, tell people. Some people have not this knowledge, right? Like we looked at last week. And whose fault is that? We should know better. People should know better, and we should know better. We need to be making sure that this message is going out there. So back to 1 Corinthians 15, and we'll just read it one more time and see if you can understand what I'm comparing things to. So all flesh is not the same flesh, right? Only man and women have been given the very life and image of the true and living God. There are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial. God has two programs in His Word. That's why we rightly divide it. He has two programs. The glory of the celestial is one, and it is different than the glory of the terrestrial program. Just like the resurrection is going to be glorious for both, but the here and now, there is a glory in both. There's one glory of the sun, glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars, for one star differs from another star in glory. I believe that's talking about the body of Christ. Not only the here and now, right? Because we're all members of the same body, but not all members have the same office. God is, but and not one is better than the other, right? We're all a team here. We all got a part to play. Not one's better than the other. But we do differ, right? We're all different. We're unique, just like all those stars, they're unique. And I personally believe that in that future day, it's not going to be... The Bema Seat of Christ is not like the Oscar Awards, where it's going to be, and the best evangelist is. But I believe those positions of authority that we have, the glory, majesty, and honor, is going to differ according to what we've done. And we looked at our field, right? That day when our field gets judged and looked at to make sure there ain't no weeds in there. There's nothing but good fruit, right? So I personally believe that, yes, we are going to be different in eternity. Not better than one another, but there is going to be a difference. And we need to take that seriously. Because the Bema Seat is not the award ceremony. it's not about you. It's about what Christ has done through you. That's what it's about. So also is the resurrection of the dead. Any questions or comments?
God. I think I've heard in the past that the veil on Moses was to keep the people from seeing the glory in his face. I didn't know it was a fading.
That's what that verse is talking about in Paul's. It wasn't It wasn't to keep him from to keep them from seeing his shining face like they were scared. It's because it faded, right? He went up to the mountain. He spends time with God. Came down. He was shining, but then it slowly fades. And we can put that into the aspect of our Christian life, right? We go to conferences. We spend time in the Word. You know, we come out. We're out of the gate shining. And then get a little tired for a while. Stretch your back a little bit.
Yeah, the verse actually says in 2 Corinthians 3:13 that Moses put a veil over his face that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is about us. The veil was put there so they couldn't see the end of the thing that was going to be abolished, the glory of the law of the first covenant.
Amen. That's it and nothing else? I hope that was pretty clear. I mean, I'm not talking about not only a future, but there's a here and now.
This should be tied in with Acts 7 with Stephen's face glowing.
Yes, sir. So there is evidence of earthly people having a glow, even Stephen. And we should have a glow about us. We should. There should be something different about us. People should be able to see us. Right? That city on a hill, it can't be hid when you put that shining city on a hill. Don't light a candle and then put it under a bushel, right? God's plan and purpose for us is to help people see what's going on.
I think when, you know, Christ's power is made perfect in our weakness, when we're going through things and people, we're depending on Christ more, you know, when you're...
Oh, yeah.
So people see His power and resurrection life.
Yeah.
That's somewhat of a glow.
Sure, and sure. Warm. Hey, what's different about you? How come you almost died and you were in the hospital and yet you were happy and people were, you know, your wife was, you know, he could get more glory from that than, oh, he healed me. Okay, then you go your way. When he healed the 10, how many came back and said thanks? One. One. Right, so I hope that wasn't too confusing. Heavenly Father, we thank you just for your word, for the endless learning that we can get if we just take the time to do some digging and not just surface reading, but get in there and study these things and share these things. We're supposed to be sharing these things with others around us. So just help us to take these things and make them a reality. Realize that we have much to glory in. We're not just waiting for that glorified body, but we have so much so we can rejoice and glory in right here and right now. So we thank you for that spirit of sealing us until that day of redemption, knowing that no matter what happens from now until then, we're going to be there, period. And that's because of you and your shed blood, and because of you. It's not because of us. So just watch over us for the rest of the service. Watch over my brother. Let the Holy Spirit work mightily through him, as he always does when the word rightly divided is presented. So I just thank you for each one here, and I thank you most of all for the great God and Savior that we have, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.